Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, we spoke about the National Party's decision not to allow its MPs to have a copy of the report into last year's election. And with March 15th on Monday marking 2 years since the Christchurch terror attacks, I asked the Minister about the government's plans to commemorate and also take policy action. To begin with, however, we spoke about the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission report, Marungo Te Ake, through listening and hearing. It evaluated the government's response to He Ara Oranga, the 2018 inquiry into mental health and addiction. I began by asking the Minister what progress has been made since then.
There's a number of things that the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission records as having been achieved. So we've set up the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, we've set up the permanent one, we've set up the Suicide Prevention Office. We've got a number of programs underway, not the least of which is the Access and Choice program. I think the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission acknowledges that the decisions made in May 2019 as a consequence of the November 2018 report is a 4 to 5 year program of change. At the time they put that report together, we are 18 months through it, so we're not even quite 2 years yet through it at the moment. And so we're making progress, and they acknowledge that. I think what they picked up is justifiably many in the sector are saying, look, we just wish it could happen faster. Some people have said the change is inconsistent, and it's partly because I think negotiating with DHBs, with community providers and with others, it's not going to be all the same around the country at the same time, bearing in mind that we've given ourselves this 4 to 5 year period to achieve the change that the report in 2018 said needs to happen. So, look, it's a very important check-in about progress, but, of course, we're nowhere near completed yet and we've got a long way to go.
And so some on the ground are concerned that the investment has been ad hoc, too slow and not targeting the right areas. Why do you think it is that the change hasn't been what some of the people on the ground, on the front lines, envisaged?
Yeah, look, just in response to the substantive criticism, the change that we're doing is the change that He Ara Oranga outlines, and they said the principal gap that we have in mental health and addiction services at the moment is help and services for those with mild to moderate mental health issues. So the people who are not turning up to hospitals with acute conditions, but who are feeling anxious, who are feeling depressed. And so that's been the focus of what we've done. And we've got this program of work where we work with GP clinics and community organisations and others to provide skilled people who can do the talk therapies and the others at that sort of level. So needing to get that around right around the country across literally hundreds and hundreds of GP practices, of community and other frontline health organisations, there's a capacity issue, so it's going to be for those organisations to pick up the people who can pick up the additional roles that are being funded. And that's one of the challenges that we've got. So people may well say, look, it's inconsistent or it's patchy, because it's going to be, because that's the nature of backfilling a major workforce gap that we've got. But it is doing the right thing in the right way as contemplated by the original 2018 report. So to the extent that people are saying it's the wrong thing, I reject that. To the extent people are saying it's happening in a disordered sort of way, I get that that's what it looks like, but that is the nature of making a significant change over a long period of time and moving at a pace that different organisations can move at in partnership with the Ministry of Health.
And a big part of that report was the implementation of kaupapa Māori principles, and I wondered how the government has or is planning on incorporating that in a way that's genuine and not tokenistic.
Yeah, and that's very important, and it's one of the things I've been talking to the Ministry a lot about, is making sure that the way we engage kaupapa Māori services and services that are there to support Māori is not just the standard kind of contracting, competitive sort of tendering model, that actually we're collaborating with organisations and getting the best out of it. And I'm confident that actually the processes that the Ministry are using now is doing that. They are in the throes of engaging right now with kaupapa Māori and Pacifica services for the very reason of getting the relationship right, getting the principles right, and engaging properly with those organisations to get services going. So we're pretty close to finalising some arrangements with a range of organisations to do just that.
And lastly, I know another group that the Commission heard from was the Rainbow Community. And I was wondering what steps Labor has taken towards upholding your election promise to provide mental health services focused on the Rainbow community.
Yeah, we have. I haven't had direct engagement with Rainbow community leaders on the kind of new services. Some of the services that we've operated, particularly at the young people in Rangatahi kind of level, there are some specifically directed at young members of the Rainbow community. But we know that, look, there's more that has to be done in that regard. I think the big piece of policy work that we're focused on that has a mental health dimension to it is the gay conversion therapy ban, which we're working on at the moment as well. So we'll come at that at a number of fronts. But I'm acutely aware that in terms of direct engagement about new expectations or expectations of new services, that is yet to happen in relation to the Rainbow community.
To move on to our second topic for today, I know the National Party Board has published its review into the 2020 election and what went wrong for the party. Now, Judith Collins has said she's allowed the MPs to read the report and that in itself is a concession, but not to actually have a copy. How does that sound to you, just as a gut reaction?
Yeah, look, I don't want to get drawn into the National Party's internal set of issues. It's for them to do. That said, I mean, look, all parties do a review of their elections, whether they're regarded as being successful or not. And Labor's had plenty of elections recently where it hasn't been particularly successful. But we always do a review, and we're open with each other about it and with the party membership about it. And typically those reports get published. So it is a bit unusual from MPs of a party who will be reflecting on a pretty disastrous result for them historically, and to not be trusted to take a report away in their own time and consider it and read it and reflect on it is an unusual step for a major political party to take. But in the end, that's a matter for the National Party.
And when you're talking about Labor in the past having done similar reviews of similarly unsuccessful elections, would that be published to the general public? And do you think it's important for voters to know what went on?
Well, I think it's important for voters to see that parties can honestly reflect on what went wrong and in that case, also in some cases, what went right. But certainly the result is not as expected, and you want to make sure, were all the elements in place? Was there good campaign leadership? Were there good campaign resources? How did the fundraising go? Was everybody in the loop and sort of getting the daily messages and all that sort of stuff? I mean, I think the public needs to know as a matter of confidence in a big political party that they can be open and honest with themselves about the things that need to change. And that, people do need to see that, and that's certainly the view that the Labor Party has always taken.
Do you think you will ever get to know the contents of that report? Are you curious at all?
Oh, look, I don't want to be unkind to the National Party because Labor's been through this experience before, but that was a difficult election result for the National Party last year. But when that happens, the next big question for leadership is to face up to it and be open and honest about it. Open up to your colleagues and say, right, that didn't go so well, so what do we have to do, to make the change? And part of being a political party in a democracy like this is that you've got to demonstrate to the public that you're up for that internal conversation. And I think saying that, MPs can read it but they can't take it away just shows, a level or a spirit of distrust that doesn't look good.
Well, then to move on to our last topic for today, Andrew, I know that March 15th is coming up next week, and I was wondering what the government's plans were to commemorate the lives lost in the Christchurch terror attacks.
There's a commemoration activity on Saturday, on the 13th, with the communities there and the broader Christchurch community. So there'll be that. The other thing, the government's been obviously actively considering the Royal Commission's recommendations. So I'm hoping we'll be in a position in the next couple of days to make some announcements about some specific things we're doing in pursuit of those recommendations. Some of the recommendations stuff that is long-term, increasing the diversity of the public service, having the public debate about social inclusion and being accepting of minority faith and ethnic communities, some of the stuff around the security agencies. But there's stuff that is more short-term, and I'm hoping we'll be in a position to announce some specifics in relation to the short-term initiatives in relation to supporting minority communities and things like that.
And as part of that, also in response to the recent report by the Muslim community, which supported the recommendations of the commission?
Yeah, I mean, we've had, I've had some, and my colleague Priyanka Radhakrishnan have had some pretty good engagement with both the Muslim community and other faith communities and minority ethnic communities. The report from the Federation of Islamic Associations, FIANS, is a good report, and they've set out a tracker that they put together for keeping a track of the implementation of the recommendations. But they've come up with some very useful suggestions. We've been working with the Islamic Women's Council as well. They're a very important voice. And there's some other Muslim organisations too, which we need to take account of as we put together some of the restorative aspects of what the Royal Commission has recommended as we restore that relationship.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.